Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Hugh Jackson said last week that he would play a bigger role in the play calling, but it did not help yesterday. Cleveland is now on a three-game losing streak after losing 33-18 to the Steelers. Baker Mayfield threw two touchdown passes and an interception in the loss. Shannon, how much is Baker to blame?
Well, I think he gets a large portion of the blame, just like he got a large portion of the credit when he came in at the half and they turned it around against the Jets and then they won another game. I think they ended up beating Baltimore. Everybody, Skip, had pom-poms on. He was kicking up, had a big old sign saying, yay, rah. So he got a lot of the credit, so he deserves a lot of the blame. Here's the thing. Since he's been the starter, they have 11 takeaways, tied for most in the NFL, but they only have 21 points off those turnovers. So in other words, he's getting opportunity even when he doesn't have the – even when – the team scores, even when they give him extra possessions. He's not doing anything with those possessions. Now, I know Skip, you know, probably had Sean Lee not tweaked his hamstring, they'd be better. Had Hugh Jackson started him at opening day, they'd probably have a better record. That's neither here nor there. At the end of the day, we are where we are. He deserves some of the blame. Did you see that? Did you see that performance yesterday, Skip Bayless? What am I supposed to do with that? Are you proud of that? You told me.
My turn?
No, it's not your turn yet. You keep telling me, oh, Jenny, you saw him a lot last year. Oh, he threw 43 touchdowns, six interceptions.
That's pretty good, 43-6.
I'm looking at him right now. He 8-6.
I know.
He need to go on a hot streak. He need to throw 35 touchdowns without throwing another pick over the next eight games. Do you see that happening, Skip Bayless? Because I do not. And I got some good old glass. I got some good old strong medicine. You like these glasses, Skip? I just got these the other day. But anyway, Skip Bayless, 58% of his play. You told me he was accurate, had the highest QBR.
For the last 2 years.
This joker completing 58%. Now, with the way the rules are set up now, if a quarterback completes under 60% of his passes, he's not very good. He's not very good, Skip Bayless. So, the four rookie quarterbacks. Me and your own Steve, he dug deep for this one. He stayed up late. He did what Jason Garrett, you wanted Jason Garrett to do. He stayed up late,
Steve Owens, you're
researching. Steve.
He writes all your stuff.
Now he's as good as they come in the research department.
Every opinion.
That's unnecessary, Skip. That's really unnecessary. But anyway, of the four rookie quarterbacks, did you know he's the only one that's completed less than 60% of his passes?
Really?
Of all the rookies. Rosen and Darnold and Allen, Baker Mayfield.
Who do you want right now of those rookies? Who do you want? Who do you want, Shannon? You're on the hot seat.
Pick one. Skip Bayless.
Pick one and stick with it. You just blasted Sam Darnold about two topics ago. Who do you like? I'll take Baker Mayfield. Okay. I'm sticking with
it. I'm going to let you take it as soon as I finish. 6.6 yards per attempt. That's the fourth worst in the NFL. So, in other words, not only is he not pushing the ball down the field like Skip told me he could do, not only is he a careful gambler like Skip, that's oxymoronic because gambling in and of itself is taking risk. But anyway, Skip, the guy is completing less than 60%, and all he's doing is checking the ball down. And I'm supposed to give him and who's the blame supposed to be on? Now, I know Hugh is going to get a lot of the blame because he's been there for 3 years and it doesn't seem like this thing's going to turn around. And I don't know how much longer or how much faith Jimmy Haslam and that the front office is going to have in Hugh. But Baker Mayfield deserves the lion's share of the blame because he gets lion's share of the credit when things go well.
So, Baker Mayfield, I saw at Oakland, did he win the game? Yeah, he won the game and got robbed
twice. No, Skip, we don't do that.
And then Baker bounced right back and beat Baltimore at home in overtime, throwing to one Derek Willis, who then quickly got hurt and is lost for the season. And he was also throwing early in that game to Rashard Higgins, who was his favorite receiver and a guy who hung out with. And he's gone for the season. And do you hear Tom Brady raving about Josh Gordon now? That's all I read about is, boy, Tom Brady loves him some Josh Gordon. Didn't he used to be with the Cleveland Browns?
Yes.
So could he be Derek I mean, could he be Baker Mayfield's favorite target by now? Yeah, I think he could be.
But Skip.
Okay, he's gone. So that's three receivers who are gone. Can you name the left tackle protecting Baker Mayfield's blind side for me?
No.
Nope, you can't because his name is Desmond Harrison. He's out of West Georgia, undrafted.
Oh, West Georgia, that's in the crib.
I know. Yeah, it's in the crib. West Georgia, undrafted, and Baker felt like he was in the crib because he was just getting rocked in his crib because it was full of Steelers yesterday.
What?
Every time I looked up, he would plant, and he would get hit from both sides.
I thought he was elusive. Remember, he had great pocket presence.
By the way,
Jim was telling me that.
Thank you. Thank you. Still. Could we see a play at the end of the first quarter? This is pure vintage Baker Mayfield. Could we see his escape artistry on a play that happened right at the end of the first quarter when it was still a football game? Watch this. Tell me this isn't escapism. Whoops, whoops. That's a little Johnny Manziel going on. And then 30 yards to Jarvis Landry for a big completion that set up a missed field goal that would have had him right.
Whoa. I know we're not talking about no missed field goals. Hold on. I know we're not talking about missed field goals when a missed field goal against the opening game against Pittsburgh Steelers that would have won. Or two missed field goals and two missed PATs against New Orleans that would have kept Tyrod Taylor in the starting lineup. I know we're not talking about missed field goals now.
I think it's my turn. So then at the end of the game, when Baker finally got protected on the first play of the whole game that he got protected, he just wings one to somebody named Seth DeValve, some like fourth string tight end for a touchdown. Can we see that play? This is a rocket now. Shunk. Oh, there we go. That's Baker Mayfield. Give him a little bit of time, and that's what's going to happen.
Okay,
he had no time.
So what, if you don't mind me asking, what quarterback couldn't you give time that couldn't do that, Jenny?
I don't know. This is Baker Mayfield. I'll take Baker over Sam Darnold.
That's
who you got. You got Sam Darnold?
That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. That's what separates quarterbacks is the ability when the situation is chaotic, when you're not getting the kind of protection that you should or you got in practice, can you still make those plays?
Mm-hmm. So now the rookie quarterback is caught in the crossfire that is just like open warfare now between the head coach and the offensive coordinator. We saw it coming in Hard Knocks because they were at it in Hard Knocks.
I saw it coming before they hired him.
Okay, there you go. Because Todd Haley's been a head coach and Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, has been a head coach, and all of a sudden they're at war over authority and control.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Hugh was saying last week, and he apologized for it after the game yesterday, but he said, you know, last week I got to take more control. I want to have some, you know, some
input
on the play calling.
Yeah.
And here we go. How would you like to be a rookie caught in that crossfire?
Well, I'll tell you what I would do if I'm the head coach and I make a recommendation, this is not a request. This is an order.
Mm-hmm.
This is a direct order. I don't request you to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I request, you know, when you send an invitation, such and such requests your presence. No, this is not a request.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what you're going to do. Now, Skip, there's a reoccurring thing with Todd Haley.
Mm-hmm.
He and Big Ben couldn't get along. Remember when he was calling plays in Arizona?
I do.
Him and Anquan, Q, almost got into it on the sideline.
Him and Terrell Owens got it.
So there's a reoccurring. We keep talking.
I agree.
We like common denominators.
Okay.
So there's been. So if I'm Hugh Jackson, I'm like, look here, Todd. I don't ask you to do anything. I tell you what to do. And until I'm relieved of my duty as head coach, when I tell you to run the ball, you run the ball.
Okay.
If I tell you to throw it, you throw it.
Something's got to give. Somebody's got to go. And that's what all the reports yesterday said. Somebody's going, either Hugh or Todd. And I'm with you. It would seem like it would be Todd, but I'm not sure about that because Hugh came into this year 1-31.
Yeah, but Hugh is a play caller. Mm-hmm. So I'll fire Todd Haley and I call my own plays.
Okay.
And I'm going down with my ship. This is my ship. I'm the head coach. And if I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired calling my plays, doing it my way. So bye-bye, Todd Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Kick rocks.
Well, the new GM, John Dorsey, did not hire Hugh. So will he side with Todd Haley or Hugh? I don't know.
Well, I'm going to see who he's going to side with because I'm getting him out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So either he got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh says, look, I'm still the head coach. Hugh got a couple of years left on that contract. So if y'all want to fire me, y'all still got to pay me. But let me go and earn this money and see if I can turn this thing around.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I would do if I was Hugh Jack.
Now they got some mutiny going on defense, and I must say, the defense let me down.
I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like that Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett took a shot at his coordinator.
Great players don't know. I don't recall, and I was in my prime when Reggie White and Bruce Smith and all these great, I never heard them say, The game plan. When you great, you're broader than a game plan. You think LT had a game plan skill?
No, but you think Miles Garrett is saying we should have kept it simple like we did the first time and just played our base defense. No tricks, no wrinkles.
But that's the thing, yep. Skip. When people watch you on tape when you play, what do you think they go back and do? Okay, that's what they done. So you have to do other things because they prepare for that. Mm-hmm. Your job is to go get to the quarterback, so no matter what the play.
Okay, so the rookie quarterback is caught in all this upheaval, this chaos.
No. Head down, butt up, ears closed. Mm-hmm. That doesn't affect you. You go do your job.
It's hard to be the quarterback.
I've been in the crossfire. I was in a situation in Denver in 1992 when John and Dan Reeves were going back and forth. Mr. Bowles was going to have to make a decision. That didn't affect Shannon. Because guess what?
Hey, you're not the quarterback.
I wanted the job. Mm-hmm. So I'm worried about what's going on with them. But guess who else wasn't going to have a job? Me. Mm-hmm. Go and do your job. Mm-hmm. If he's what you said he is.
He is.
Well, he got to show me. You know I was from Missouri?
I know. Well, maybe next week.
You from Missouri, too?
Mm-hmm. No, Minnesota.
Okay, I'm from Missouri. Show me.
Okay. Well, it's taking on Pat Mahomes next week, so we got that one to look forward to. So maybe he'll show you there.
Genius style.
Maybe.
Pat Mahomes will be about 5-2. No
mercy. We do have some breaking news. Reports say Hugh Jackson has just been fired by the Browns. Jackson only won 3 games, lost 36 during his 3 seasons in Cleveland. Shannon, what is your reaction to the news?
I'm not surprised. Mary Kay Cabot, who writes for the Cleveland, I think, Plain Dealer, Skip. Yeah. And when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, she is the Bible.
She does.
She said it was going to be either Hugh Jackson or Todd Haley. Mm-hmm. One of those guys were going to have to go. Well, they made it abundantly clear who they wanted to leave. But I'm surprised. Here's the thing. At 1-15, you don't fire Hugh. 0-16, you don't fire Hugh. 2-5-1, Hugh, you got to go. What did you expect him to be, 6-2 or 7-1? Skip, they need to get up out of here. You know good well Cleveland's not very good. Their hard knocks gave us a false sense of what the Cleveland Browns could be. Mm. I think I had them at what, 6? I think I had them at 6 games. I think you said they could possibly win 9 if they started Baker Mayfield.
Well, if Josh Gordon is still there, that would
happen. Man, stop, Skip.
Well, what do you mean stop? Is he not Tom Brady's new favorite receiver?
Well, if he
don't think he'd be helping Baker Mayfield
if
right
he
now?
Had showed up on time and not looked like he was possessed.
Okay, all right. Well, that's fair. I'm good with this, and I have supported and defended Hugh over the years, but he lost me during Hard Knocks, as I've said many times on this show, and I think he got in a power struggle with 2 former head coaches who are big personalities at both his coordinators, and they're firing at each other during Hard Knocks, vying for attention and control of the football team and of the Hard Knocks, you know, who can take over Hard Knocks. For a while, it was Greg Williams, then it was Todd Haley. Hugh's fighting back. And Hugh just felt like he was flailing to me now for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 games. And he's trying to fight with Todd Haley publicly last week and try to get some new impact and input on the game plan. And it's just wrong. And finally, John Dorsey said, no, that's enough. And guess what? Hugh wasn't John Dorsey's guy.
We're not surprised. Yeah. I was kind of surprised that he was able to keep the job after John Dorsey was hired because normally, Skip, like you say, GM, Brank, I want my guy. I want someone I hired. I know this guy, but they gave Hugh a chance. But, I'm not surprised. And, Hugh had his opportunity. He didn't get the job done. So he has another year left on his contract. He's still going to make some money. But I still believe Hugh is an excellent play caller and deserves and will get another
chance. He is, and I hope he gets a coordinator job because that's what I think he's best at, and he deserves a shot.
Right.
But this was a troubled football team, and this will clarify the situation, and maybe Baker will start to rally here.
Stop rallying nothing. Really? They gave us a false sense watching them on Hard Knocks. Oh, this team can win 7-8 games. I didn't say they was going to win no 7-8 games. Yeah. I told you, best case scenario, 6. And I was being very generous.
You told me Rashard Higgins was going to get hurt and Derek Willis. I don't think you said that. No
mercy. Well, Ty Montgomery cost the Packers a chance to win yesterday. Aaron Rodgers was reportedly very upset with Montgomery's decision to return a kickoff. We're joined by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. All right, Greg, should Rodgers be that upset with Montgomery?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. No doubt about it. No. I'm going to tell you right now, I was upset. Like, and I, as a fan, I felt like we all got robbed.
Got robbed!
From an opportunity to just witness what could have potentially took place.
Or we, maybe what wouldn't have taken
or place. Or what wouldn't have. Exactly.
Well, we never had an opportunity to see.
We did.
Either way, we would have found out what could have, what didn't, what would have, whatever the case may be, but we never got that opportunity, and I think it was snatched away. But as far as Ty Montgomery goes, very smart player. I was very shocked that he even decided to take it out, but I put it on Ty Montgomery as well as coaching. Because in that situation, you must be clear and concise when it comes to what we are doing. I truly believe that if they had told Ty Montgomery, we are not bringing it out, he would not have brought that ball out of the end zone. But when you give a player the option... Or you say, make a great judgment, which he has always done. A very smart player, very sure-handed, doesn't put the ball on the ground. In that situation, he's two full yards deep in the end zone. So in kick return rules, if you're not 3 yards or deeper, you can bring it out. It's up to your discretion. He felt like, again, this is an opportunity for me to make a play. I can make
hero,
a play.
Hero ball.
And so, but because I know the type of player Ty Montgomery is, I'm not holding this against him for the remainder of the season, obviously. But if I'm on the sideline and he's my teammate at that moment, oh, I'm hot. I am disturbed. I'm like, come on, man. You gotta kneel because 2 minutes and 5 seconds left. You got a free timeout because of 2-minute warning. You have a timeout in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. You got Aaron Rodgers. Your offense has opened up. You're running the ball well. You have their defense on their toes. Everything is in your favor. And we've seen Aaron Rodgers perform at a high level in this situation with much less time to work with. Mm.
Obviously,
give me a chance.
You played for the Packers. You caught balls from Aaron Rodgers, but you did not cross over with Ty Montgomery. But you've heard from other players what he's like as a teammate.
Yeah, he's a great teammate. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers loves him. Mm. He loves him. One of the smartest guys. I mean, this was so uncharacteristic. That's why I was almost like, what are you doing? Because it doesn't fit Ty Montgomery and smart football in that situation. And again, that's why he shares the blame with coaching staff, because I think if you're clear and just concise. And Mike McCarthy said in his press conference, the idea was to put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands, to keep the ball in the end zone, like not to bring it out. But he never said it with conviction.
Did you relay that?
Exactly. He said it. That was the idea. But he never said, we told Ty Montgomery, or we said we didn't want to return the ball. Let's get it on the 25-yard line, put the ball in air. If they had said that, I don't think we're even talking about this.
Okay.
In some situations, you shouldn't have to say it.
You're right.
The really great players are supposed to know down and distance. They're supposed to know circumstances. Hold on. Look who we got. We got Aaron Rodgers. That's not Sam Darnold. That's not Josh Rosen. That's
Sam Darnold.
That's not Dak Prescott.
No, that's nuclear.
That's definitely not Dak Prescott. Yeah, because you got no chance. You already know. You already know you ain't got no chance when that's going to happen.
It's not Kirk Cousins.
We'll do this again.
That too.
Why you got to take a shot at first cousin?
Because you took a shot at Dak. Thank you.
I mean, he's balling.
No, but was he, though?
The fact of the matter is, Greg, I agree 100%. Not only should Aaron Rodgers be mad, his whole team should be mad at him, because he denied us of an opportunity to see if Aaron Rodgers could fail or succeed. And in that situation, what do you hope to happen? Because if you bring the ball out, now you're going to be on the underside of the 2-minute warning. So you've taken the timeout from your team. At least if you kneel it down, Aaron Rodgers is going to get a play, and he's going to get the 2-minute warning, and he still has a timeout. So every blade of grass is in play. Yeah. You don't have to worry about, we can't throw this ball in the middle of the field because time. You got plenty of time. 147.
You do.
Aaron Rodgers probably could go up and down the field twice.
You got Mason Crosbar, too.
See, there you go.
He can make it from 56.
There you go. See, this is not about Mason Crosbar.
Well, it was about to be.
Who said that? Knowing Aaron Rodgers like I know him, he going to put the ball in the end zone. The Aaron Rodgers I know. Okay. Maybe you're talking about a different Aaron Rodgers. But that's what I'm saying. What he did was he robbed us. And Skip, look, I get it. Sometimes when you're in a situation, you're in the heat of the moment, you don't always think clearly. And you get caught up. You're like, okay, I've been bringing them out. I've been bringing them out. I've been bringing them out. And you lose at this point. Man, we only down two. This is the fourth quarter. We like 2:05 left. The first quarter, running a kickoff back. Fourth quarter, under 2 minutes, we're down two. Is something mm-hmm. entirely different. So you have to always constantly conscious, mm-hmm. constantly be on your toes. Mm-hmm. And what the really, really great ones can do mm-hmm. is that when the situations become even more stressful, they can slow it down and still see things
that
clearly.
Is correct.
You know, okay. like your boy, like me, Skip Bailey, you know, I was like, before it was an even cool thing, I never took this, but they say I was like on Adderall because I saw everything so clearly.
Were you?
Yeah, no. And everything just slowed down. I just like see it. I can see people coming. Oh, yeah, this is what I need to do. Huh. Skip, there was a situation where we were playing Kansas City in 1993. They didn't have any more timeout. Now, John threw a ball, and, you know, I cooked him that day. Greg, you know I had 10 for 60 and three tubs. But anyway, no,
what are we doing?
But
just
I'm just going to show you the situation. They had no timeout, Skip.
Okay.
And John threw me a ball. It was like 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I would have had more yards, but he... I caught the ball mm-hmm. for the simple fact I okay. know they didn't have any timeouts. Right. If this ball is incomplete, now that's going to stop the clock and going to give them an extra 30 seconds. I want to eat all that time okay. up.
Got
but
it.
But you got to know that.
I
skill.
Agree. You have high IQ. I give you that. Football and
life. Yeah,
you
yeah.
do. No, you do.
It's something coming.
So, no, nothing's coming. I'm going back to what Michael Silver wrote for NFL.com. And he said that Ty Montgomery was furious about the previous series. And he only played six offensive plays the whole day because he's sort of a combo back, you know,
right.
runner receiver type. But on his sixth play of the whole game, he was in on first and 10 from the 21-yard line on the previous possession. And Aaron threw him a little pass to the side, if we could please see that. And Aaron had a rusher right up in his face, and he threw low and outside. If
yes.
we could please see that play. Here it is. He just throws it low and outside, and there's no way, I don't know, maybe Ty could have dived and caught it. It's highly doubtful. And what happened at that moment, in came
they took him
Aaron
out.
Jones. They yanked him right out of the mm-hmm. game. And according to Michael Silver, one of the teammates said anonymously that he was furious and that he threw his helmet down on the sideline. And it's possible there was a little bit of rebellion going on there, a little bit of mutiny, like, okay, if you're going to do that to me, I'll do this back to you. And I'm not saying he's trying to sabotage. He's just saying, okay, if it's my turn, it's my turn. And I'm just going to return this ball. And this is where I disagree with the idea that it was 2 yards deep. If we could see the return again, he gets a little head start, and he actually catches the ball right on the goal line, if we could see it.
It's like a yard and a half.
Here he goes. He's running forward, but he caught it. The ball's going to drop just barely over the goal line.
But see, his intention all along was to run that ball out of the end zone because you see it.
I do agree with you, but any special teams coach would advise on that kick to return it. That's a returnable kick. Under any other circumstance except for this.
Exactly. Okay.
Yes.
So it's not like it went 5 yards mm-hmm. deep and he had to look around and say, oh, I'm like from a dead
right.
start, you know, like he had to go with it.
Right.
Nope, that's not what happened. He got a little running start and he took it at the goal line and he thought he could make a play. He's been kind of a playmaker in little big ways for them over time. He's made little big plays against my Cowboys two or three mm-hmm. times in games back in 2016. He's not a bad player, but he's lost his spot in the rotation to a bunch of backs, starting with Aaron Jones. So is he just an unhappy camper? Yep, he probably is. Did he just say, I'm going to do this my way? Probably he did. Was he told flat out, don't run it out of the end zone?
Probably
take
not.
A knee. I don't think he was told to take
no.
a knee. But I agree with you. I wanted to see. I was just deflated.
It
just
exactly.
The whole game just fell flat at that point because it virtually ended with his decision. And then I got to give Ramique Wilson, who I didn't know, he's a fourth-round pick out of Georgia. Yeah. He just flat out took the ball out of his hand.
He took it away.
He just took it out of his hand.
But if you look at the shot, Skip, he caught him. He didn't see him.
Yeah.
He came in from the side.
Oh, really?
So he caught him flush. He was dazed to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's not good enough. What they do now, Skip, they teach you not just get the tackle, get the ball out.
He tackled the football and literally just wrenches it out of his hand and falls down with it on the ground.
He got hit.
Game
flush.
Over.
He got the air hole shot, Greg.
Yeah, but again, to your point, though, it's not that Aaron Rodgers was overreacting or his teammates were overreacting. as fans watching the game,
robbed us.
Exactly. We felt robbed. And again, this is beyond Ty Montgomery because he's a great guy, great teammate, all those things. But come on, man, you got to know the situation. Any other situation, as you alluded to, you bring that ball out 100 times, 100 out of 100.
You do.
But 2 minutes left in the game?
Yep.
With that quarterback, with the way our offense is rolling and the way that defense was playing?
Okay, if he'd run it to the 40, would you give him a pass?
And I was going to say that. Had he not even fumbled, we're still fine with it. Because at least
you
they
lost
have a chance.
Your 2 minute timeout.
Yes, you lost the free time.
What you're concerned with is that you run time off the clock.
Yep.
Time is of the essence. So you want to save as much as you can. So even if he runs it to the 40, Skip, he's going to be, so if he gets it to the 40, what's it going to be? 148, 140? We want time. We don't – field position is under – when I'm dealing with Aaron Rodgers, I don't care about field position. Mm. As a matter of fact, you can start me in the stands if you like because I have the utmost confidence that he's going to deliver us.
Mm.
Robbed us. Malachi – you know Malachi 3, 8 through 18? You remember what he used to ask? They ask a question, say, will a man rob God? He answers himself. He says yes and tithe that is offering. He robbed us of Aaron Rodgers because he robbed us of seeing Aaron Rodgers in his ultimate greatness before that Sunday matchup. You remember Michael Jordan had the commercial. Say, somebody
don't think he's forgotten.
Somebody's going to decide who the GOAT is.
I'm sure he's
that was one of my favorite sermons. The pastor, Reverend Moses Carter, he used to ask us that every Sunday. Will a man rob God? He said he answers himself because he already knows. Yes. He didn't say when. And tithe and offer. He said, bring him to the storehouse. And the man will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
Really?
That's what he said. Y'all better leave.
Come on now.
Y'all keep on thinking. O'Shea Sharp. I'm a Baptist.
Let me drop. Drop some dollars on
you. Skip Baylor.
I prefer Proverbs 23:9. Don't speak within the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words.
You go.
Despise the wisdom of your words.
Guys are impressed.
Think about that.
Whoa.
Always ready.
I gave you my wisdom.
You ain't got no wisdom. Yeah, you talking about you working on your vacation. You don't want Jason DeGarrett to have a look like one like a day off.
Yep.
Keep working,
look,
Jason.
There's another one in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. It was a way that Ty Montgomery thought it was.
That's true.
He thought that way was right.
Well, but you know, Greg, this is a fireable offense.
His way might be this the right way.
This is a waivable offense.
No.
This is a waivable offense.
Absolutely not.
I'm so impressed by all of you guys with the verses. Greg, you know. Thank you for joining us.
No mercy.
The biggest debate in the NFL is for the title of best quarterback, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. Well, Sunday night might help the debate, and the Packers are traveling to Foxborough to play the Patriots, and NBC got none other than Michael Jordan to hype up the matchup. Take a listen to this.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever, about who has the titles, the raw talent, the most clutch moments. I get it. It's a tough call. I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same. But maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head to head. I'll watch that.
I'm sorry, I had to watch that. That's
don't do
what
this,
I'm
Skip.
Sorry about.
I need to know. Skip, what's your reaction to this? You look upset.
For the first time in my life, I am angry with Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
For what?
I am stunned and disappointed that he would stoop to give credibility and credence to not one debate, but two debates. He opened two wrong doors. He actually put himself in the same cute little sentence with LeBron James, who does not even belong in the same sentence with Michael Jordan. And then he opened a second door. Aaron Rodgers does not belong in the same breath with Tom Brady.
Not what Michael said.
Yeah, well, I know, but why would he stoop to do a commercial? Is it for money?
Really?
Does Michael need the money? How could NBC pay him enough with all the money he has to do an ad
for $350 million last year.
Okay, so
$1.6 billion.
So does he need the money?
No.
No, he doesn't need the money. Does he need the attention? Does he need to stay relevant by doing a Sunday night football
Michael Jordan,
promo?
No.
No, he doesn't need it. His sneakers will keep him relevant for the rest of his born days and then some, right?
Right, correct.
So why would he stoop to do this? Because he opened two huge doors.
He loves telling the truth.
Telling the
yeah,
truth?
Yeah, that's what he loves.
Are you
telling
kidding
the truth.
Me? If you put him on the lie detector right now, he would laugh out loud at LeBron James being in the same sentence. And he opened the door. Because it's a cute ad because they both wear 23 and the other two both wear 12.
No. I see what you did, Skip. He was talking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And you took because LeBron tweeted something. That's
no,
what
well, well, he was going there. That was the joke of the commercial. That was the little clever, conceit of the commercial was he was, oh, are we going to LeBron? No. And then, of course, LeBron, to his credit, jumped right on the bandwagon because Michael opened his door and LeBron ran through it like he should have.
That's what happens. Yeah. You open the door, flies come in your house.
And now that's right. And a fly just got in Michael's house. A fly got in. It came right through the door because all the blind witnesses will say, oh, see, Michael's acknowledging that there's a competition between. Oh, there's no competition.
Only you. Only, you're right. The competition been over. I thought the competition been over. Did you see what happened?
Do I have to say it again? Michael is 6-0 in finals versus LeBron's 3-6. Michael Jordan won 10 scoring titles to LeBron's 1. Do I need to start in again?
No,
how far do I need to go?
How about you go this far? Tyron, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Jenny, were in the NBA finals. They lose one player. They start the season 0-6. They fired the head coach.
I know.
Now, in 1993, the Chicago Bulls won 57 games and the NBA title. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan retires. They win 55 games, which is two fewer games, and they are Hugh Holland's blown call away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. They lost Kyrie Irving, who was a top, 10, top 12, 13 player. They still go to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
So with that argument, Skip, I don't really think we need to have an argument.
I'm just getting started.
But do I
need to bring up that as we saw just the other night, that in late game clutch free throw shooting, LeBron can't make one to save his life or his team's life.
Okay, Skip.
He just can't. And even how about right now, LeBron without a co-star, without a solo star, a second star? Look at what's happened. This team could have only one win so far if not for Lance Stephenson. Lance Stephenson saved the night.
And without LeBron, they could have no wins. Yeah. Where would they be? Let me ask you a question. If LeBron was still in Cleveland, do you believe Ty Lue would have lost his job?
No,
a simple yes or a simple no.
Eastern Conference.
It doesn't matter.
Now that you're in the Western Conference. So let's just get this straight real quick on what's happened so far to LeBron here in L.A. Let's frame this. So the Lakers are down 1 with 8 minutes left at Portland. Close, King. Couldn't close. They're down 1 with 4:13 left against the Rockets in the brawl game. Close, King. Couldn't close. Then they're up 6 with 56 seconds left in overtime against my Spurs on that Saturday night game. Close, King. Monday night. Close. You got to close that. Nope, you couldn't. Then this past Saturday night, they're up 1 with 7 minutes left. 96-95 at San Antonio against what's left of my Spurs. Close it, King, and he couldn't close it. They lost again.
Without Lance Stephenson going crazy. Just a second. With 2 minutes and 20 seconds, you're down by 1. 33-32. 33-32. Close, go. Tom Brady, close the game for us. You're down 1. What did he do, Skip Bayless?
No.
I don't want to hear about no. He scored this. Close that game if you're the GOAT.
At that point, he had closed a whole bunch of them because he'd won 5.
Oh, so five. So LeBron had never closed any game.
And he closed another one that should have stayed closed except for the luckiest play in the history of pro football.
Just so I'm hearing you correctly. Mm-hmm. So LeBron James has never, ever closed a game before. Prior to this year, he had never closed a game.
How about one that counts? Kyrie closed the one that counted.
How's Kyrie doing right now?
It just doesn't matter.
He's
coming off surgery. Second big surgery on the same knee.
You just told me anytime.
Is this about Kyrie or LeBron?
You told me anytime somebody's on the court and that jersey has your name on the back, they expect you to be great. But I don't know how we got off of what Michael originally started talking about, which was Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
He opened the LeBron
door. I don't skip. I want LeBron. Mm-hmm. I was going to give LeBron a rest today. I want to give him. I will treat this like the Sabbath.
Yeah,
I'm going to give him a rest.
You
want
to sweep him under the carpet.
No.
Nobody notices what's going on. I got another thing.
I can't sweep 35, 11, and 4 up under the carpet, but that's not what we're talking about.
So think about this. Tom Brady has won 5 out of 8 Super Bowls. It should be 6 out of 8.
Could be.
And Aaron Rodgers won one long ago Super Bowl. And since that Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers is 5 and 6 in the postseason. And just during that stretch, Tom Brady is 13 and 5 in the postseason. And overall, Tom Brady is 27 and 10 to Aaron's 10 and 7. How can you put them in the same breath? It's like insulting to me that we're even having this conversation. And Michael opened the door doing a cutesy ad for NBC. Why? I don't know. He gained what? What's the win for Michael Jordan here? There's no win.
Because
there's no win. I'm angry with him for the first time. What are you thinking? No, seriously. What are you thinking? Give me a rationale for this.
NBC asked him, said, Mike, would you mind doing this voiceover for us? We have a big game, probably the biggest Sunday night game that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the two best quarterbacks in football playing currently. There's a lot of debate about which is better, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. And he mentioned one guy is very accomplished, one guy physically gifted. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Michael Jordan said
it. I agree.
Okay, then.
I agree.
So now
He said
that there's a lot of conversation that's going to go back and forth over the water cooling at the barbershop and on the debate shows. Mm-hmm. He says, but you know, only one way to settle this thing. Mm-hmm. He said, they play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch.
So LeBron's like, want to play one-on-one
Whoa,
now?
Skip.
When Michael's like 65.
I keep asking you to stop bringing LeBron into this equation.
Way to go, LeBron.
We're talking about
Show me some guts.
We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, and we're talking about Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to tell me, why didn't Tom close when he was a down 32-33 in the Super Bowl? I don't want to hear about 505. I don't want to hear about
It was simply the all-time record for any playoff game. It was simply the most points ever scored by a loser in the Super Bowl, 33 points.
The most points ever scored in a finals game in which the player lost was 51. But he came to my restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And you didn't make excuses. Mm. You say you got to close the game. Mm. So I just want to know why all of a sudden you find every way possible to make excuses for Tom Brady. I don't care if his defense gave up 7,000 yards. You go get
they
me 7,001. If you're the GOAT, you can do it.
How did the genius Bill Belichick's defense give up 41 to the backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles? Help me out.
Whoa.
Was it because Malcolm Butler had to watch from the sidelines from the doghouse? I don't know.
That same genius that told his returner, do not bring the ball out of the end zone to run useless time off the clock. Mm. The same genius that had his snapper snap the ball over the punter's head in Denver and take the safety and end up winning the ball game to get the ball back to Tom Brady. Mm. That genius. Mm. See, Skip, sometimes it's the little things that goes unnoticed that leads to the greatness or shows how great a coach is. Mm. See, you think, well, this is his expertise, defense. Well, if they're not the 2000 Ravens, they can't be good. Well, who's on that defense that is 2000 Ravens or 2000 Bucks or the 70 Steelers? No one. Mm. The mere fact that he's able to do this speaks volume to his greatness. Do you remember what he did to the 90 Buffalo Bills, who were ahead of their time with the K-gun? That game plan is in the Hall of Fame. You know that, Skip Bayless.
He was the coordinator, and he still should be a coordinator.
Don't do that, Skip Bayless.
That's what he did
best.
Skip,
don't do that. The man got 5 Super Bowls. You're talking about he should still be a coordinator. Yeah.
Well, as a head coach, he had losing records in 5 of his first 6 seasons. And guess who fell out of heaven into his lap?
Mike Shanahan.
Okay.
Pete Carroll. Mm. Some guys, everybody is not as great the first. Look at Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. Tom Coughlin didn't really win anything. Mm. Tom Coughlin got the
chance. I'm so offended by this.
Don't be offended, Skip.
See, we even saw yesterday, it's classic Aaron Rodgers. He's going to throw a teammate under the bus. It's his fault. He's a blame
deflector. That's not what he said.
It's not leadership.
That's not.
What did we see LeBron do at the end of game 1 of the NBA Finals at Oakland? He just melted down on the bench and he separated himself from the team. I don't want to associate with that mess.
The same thing we saw Tom do.
Uh-oh.
When Tom's yelling and screaming at teammates for running the wrong
route.
Which one?
Tyquan Underwood.
Tyquan Underwood happened like 10 years ago, and he was cut 2 days later.
If you don't mind me asking, did it happen?
Ah. It happened over on the bench.
Oh,
he just joined the team. He ran the wrong route.
They kept T.O. out of the Hall of Fame for things that happened on the bench.
And then did you see LeBron's already started with his Lakers? Did you see the late timeout in the Laker game on Saturday night? What did he do? LeBron went over and sat on the scores table when they'd fallen down 8 with a minute 30. He goes and sits on the scores table because that's who he is. He's Aaron Rodgers or vice versa. They're the same guy. He sits on the scores table like, I ain't associated with that mess in the huddle.
He got it down to what?
Way to go.
We got it down to what? Rondo should have took that layup, but that's not what we're talking about. Skip,
Rondo
I don't know.
Should not have taken I don't know layup. What, that first, was a smart play. First, that was a Todd Gurley special right there.
That's a smart play if you got Steph Curry, if you got Klay Thompson, if you got one of these great three-point shooters. Where is that at on the Lakers team? But we're not talking about that. I want you to stop trying to get me off topic. Michael Jordan said that there is a debate going on that needs to be settled.
It will be settled
on Sunday night.
I hope they paid him $1 billion. Because that's the only reason Mike might get it for free.
Because he knows the answers just like everybody else does.
Maybe Mike knows what I know to be true. What's he doing?
You know what he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he owed somebody a favor at NBC.
Don't do that, Skip Bayless. Don't do that.
I have no idea.
You mad at Michael Jordan?
I am.
Throwing me off. It was different.
Yes.
I don't know.
Throwing me off.
He's opening up all these
making
debates.
Sick.
Oh. No mercy. And the Red Sox are champions again after beating the Dodgers last night here in L.A. Skip, how impressive was your guy, David Price?
As a Vanderbilt alum, I was so proud of David Price for finally coming up big in a postseason for the Boston Red Sox. So Walker Buehler of Vanderbilt was the best Dodger pitcher, and yet David Price stole the show. Vanderbilt, baseball U. Yeah. What can I tell you?
Yeah, Tampa Bay said, where was that when we were in the playoff and in the World Series? But now I digress on that. Skip, when you had, look, this was the best team in baseball, the Red Sox, from start to finish.
It was.
And when you have the guys that's going to probably finish 1 and 2 in the MVP, Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez. And then it seemed like every time, Skip, they come up with a pinch hitter, two guys on, it's like, man, I just hope he can put it in play. He hits the ball over the fence. Every time they needed a timely hit, they got it.
Except for Friday night.
They went 18 innings. But come on, Skip. I mean, nobody's surprised. I picked the Dodgers.
They're just better.
Right. It's simple as that. Yeah. You can always look back and say, you know what? There's nothing the Dodgers could have done that was going to make them better than the Red Sox in this series.
Correct.
The better team won.
Congratulations to the Red Sox. A lot of friends of mine in Boston were happy about that one, but we're going to go back to game 3 of the World Series on Friday night because look who it is. Jason Garrett sitting in the front row for that game because the Cowboys had a bye. But Garrett has faced some criticism for being there. Former Cowboys coach Jimmy Johnson said on Fox NFL Sunday, quote, I think it sends the wrong message, not only to the fans, but to the players. At 3-4, there's work to be done. Shannon, do you have a problem with Garrett being at the game?
No, got none.
None?
Look, I love Jimmy, and he works here with us, but Jimmy did not work 24 hours a day. And just because, who said he didn't get his work done? Listen, from 1996 to 1998, Skip, we won 39 games. We won 2 Super Bowls. We won 2 division titles. And our coaches, we would come fly in from a road trip, and the coaches would not even go home. They would stay and break down film. And on bye weeks, we got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. We had to be back by noon on Monday. I can assure you, now maybe the coaches didn't go to games, but they weren't in there. Mike Shanahan made it abundantly clear. I want you guys to get away. Skip, to say because Jason Garrett has a life that's not breaking down and putting in game plans 24 hours a day, what message? What look? It's the bye week. They make it seem like he's at the game on a Friday night and they play on Sunday. That's not the case. So in other words, Jason Garrett is supposed to have no life that isn't football related during football season. Skip, you and I know that's disingenuous. That's not true. I know I've been on teams that won a lot of games, and I know the coaches were spending over 100 hours during a 7-day span. But when it came time to the bye week, they got days off, and whether they went on vacation, they went to Miami, whatever they did, that was their right. That was their business. So to say because, is this why they only won 3 games? Because he's at this game? Look at old Brad Paisley. He was excited, too. Yeah, he should have called me. I'd have been right there. And plus, he was doing his job. What is his job to do, Skip? Clap! Did you see him clapping at the game?
He's a good
so
clapper.
He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do.
He's actually he's a gifted clapper.
Yes.
Yeah. I've never seen anything
and
like that.
And he was clapping because when they won the game, that was 18. That was Saturday, right? That was Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, he was clapping. He was doing his job.
I doubt he stayed for all 18. Yeah. I could be wrong.
But where is he going to go? He had nothing else to do.
Hollywood. He's got to go hang with Brad.
He might have been. How we know he wasn't hanging with Jerry?
At the hot spot.
How we know he wasn't hanging with Jerry?
Oh, he might be.
But Skip, stop. We need to stop with this now.
I haven't even started with
this. Just because.
It's true.
So the man not supposed to have a life.
You just want my Cowboys to explode and lose, right? You want them to come apart at the seams.
How did that hurt?
You know what? Jason Garrett should be sitting on a hot seat as a coach, and instead he was sitting in the coolest seat on Friday night next to Brad Paisley at Dodger Stadium, very near to Hollywood, during their bye week. It sends such a wrong message to, as Jimmy said, the fans and even to the players.
What are the fans doing?
They are 3-4. This is the time, as you well know, when you, as a coaching staff, self-scout. You go back to those 7-game tapes and you tear them all apart just like you're an opposing coach trying to figure out how to beat that offense.
I'm sure they've done that.
And you say, let's try this, let's do that, let's turn this upside down, let's go this way. We got a brand new receiver, Cooper, and we got to go out and find out how to get him ingratiated the quickest into
this
offense.
That's what you got to offer the coordinator and position coach. Okay. That's not the head coach's job.
He is the offensive coordinator, and that's what he does best. Well, I'm just saying, this is what he does best, and this is what he should be doing. It's just a bad look. Even if you want to take the night off and take your wife out to dinner in Dallas, I'm fine with that.
Well, maybe he would have been in Dallas.
If the World Series had been at Houston, I could make a better case because it's just a short flight. But you went to Hollywood to watch the Dodgers? Really?
Hold on. I get it. Yes, you do a lot of self-evaluating and scouting.
You do.
You see how heavy a formation. You know what? Mike would tell us, guys, when we run this toss, we're heavily eye formation, right-handed. So let's run some of this weak. When we get in this formation, 80% of the time, we're throwing the Shannon the ball on the backside option. Right. Okay, I get all of that.
Okay.
So you mean to tell me they couldn't do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
What's coming up? The Titans visit the next a week from tonight on Monday Night Football. The Titans are third in points allowed. Is that good? That's pretty good. That's one notch behind the Dallas defense. Is that going to be a low-scoring battle? Yep, it will
probably
be.
Probably not.
So won't you need to spend a little more time on the Titans? And then guess what happens the next weekend? You have to go to Philadelphia. Maybe you could get a jump on scouting Philadelphia. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah? Why are you getting a jump?
You just want them to lose.
You see what you're doing? Now, all of a sudden, you putting everything, you talking about Philly. Why are we worried about Philly when we got the Titans? Why are we worried about Philly?
You have a bye week. You can get a jump on it.
You got people to break down tape. Mm. I guarantee you got people out there. Philly's already been broken down. The game they played, they already done broke that down. But we're not worried about them because we got the Titans. But in the meantime, they gave me some time off, so I'm taking my time off. Mm-hmm. So let me get this right. You mean to tell me, I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, Healy always tell me, he say, Shannon, you know, you got this time off. You got 3 days off.
Yeah, he's telling Chris Healy.
Chris Healy, our producer. And Charlie Dixon, they say, well, you know what? We're going to give y'all 3 days off.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So you try to tell me you want me to get ready and still practice debating you, even on my time off. I wish I might.
You know I'm right about that.
I wish I might.
He doesn't take a day off.
That's him. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you what O'Shea Sharp going to do. Go be out like a scout on a new route. Mm. I'm up out of here. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be on Fox Lot. You need to stop.
What is the tagline on our new commercial? Better come prepared, Jason Garrett. You better come prepared for the Titans and then the Eagles. You got time. Are you going to waste it out in Hollywood? It's just a bad look. You know what it comes across?
What?
It comes across like Jason Garrett is now the semi-retired son of Jerry Jones. He's just another son. Am I right?
How you get there from that, Skip?
Because he's just resting on his laurels like Jerry does.
You don't want the man to enjoy his life.
No, I do not. That's a bad look.
So
you're 3-4. If you were 7-0, maybe I'd give it to you.
Even
but 3-4.
I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Mm-hmm. So if he takes his wife out, that means he's not 3-4. Mm-hmm. If he goes somewhere where the public can't see him or cameras can't catch him.
By the way, I think she was with him at the game.
Yeah, she was. But
okay.
I'm just trying to say. Yeah. So how does him going out change their record at this point?
Look, it's I was so proud of Jimmy yesterday because Jimmy Johnson took a stand against this because he knew this was the right thing to say. And remember, Jason played for Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Jimmy is fond of Jason, both as a backup quarterback and a coach. And I think Jimmy's given a lot of advice to Jason. And again, Jason probably didn't ask him about this one. This is where you just don't do this now.
So I was going to make sure I'm hearing you correctly.
Yep.
And when I see Jimmy, I'm going to ask him. So Jimmy, on the bye week, you work on Friday, mm-hmm. Saturday, and Sunday.
Yep.
You work the exact same hours that you worked in a normal week.
Jimmy had an expression he used to tell me back in the days I covered his teams, and he would always say, don't work like the mule, work smart. So you work hard in a certain time frame,
right.
You know, where you give it all you got, and then you take a break.
Okay.
But he's just saying this is a bad look because you're sending the wrong message to your team.
How do we know Jason didn't work smart in that time frame?
I hope he did.
Yeah,
when
I believe
you're 3
he did.
3-4, I think you need to stay home.
But see, you always just keep it. Brad, see, I like smooth. I want my coach. Yeah. I don't want my coach up and down, Skip. I want him to be calm.
Yeah.
Like the calmness of the river. Skip, yeah. You've been to the, I mean, Oklahoma. Y'all don't have anything. Y'all have like rivers, right? Y'all have rivers and lakes. And it's calm out there. Y'all been saying you're just calm, you know?
No, she's got 10,000 lakes.
Yeah, you're right. Well done. But correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Belichick go to games during Super Bowl week? And we didn't care
because of his new record. Belichick.
Hold on.
But that's a difference.
We thought Belichick was
what?
So who criticized it? Besides Skip and I. I don't hear no coach.
That's what I'm saying, because they were good. This is different. The records.
But that was the new Belichick who looked like he was mutinying.
Don't
he was
do that. Stop, Skip. Skip, stop.
Well, you said that, too. You said this is uncharacteristic.
I tell you what. The next time we get a break, let me find that you went to Palm Springs. Let me find out you went to Vegas.
I don't coach football.
No, debate me. And I need you to get your, like you say, you better come prepared. Mm-hmm. I need to get your undivided attention 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when you're on vacation.
I got up at 2:00
this morning.
So I could get the jump on you,
that's true.
Got it.
No, you didn't.
And I'm good, and I'll do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
When we go on vacation.
And when they tell us we're not going to compete that day, I'll take it off.
No, don't take it off. Hold on. You mean to tell me Jason Garrett wasn't competing, and he took a day off, and that's a problem?
I know, but it's not like I have the Titans and the Eagles to get ready for.
It's
just you.
It's just you.
Oh, good thing
I'm
you woke up at 2 a.m.
I'm a more formidable opponent than both of those guys putting together.
No, I got this.
Shannon, he does wake up earlier than both of us, I think.
Yeah,
I don't think we're ever going to win there.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.